world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
No owner should express this kind of contempt, ugliness toward
when players. Stubborn inequality still persists in education.
I don't like what he did here, but I know Mel, and I know he's not.
What? I need a woman!
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show where truth is our bitch and we go anywhere to find that, even through the dimensional membrane.
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can go there and you can get the live streaming video of our show as it occurs each and every night. You can watch the live streaming video, listen to the live streaming audio, and get downloads of our show every day, the next day, as well as downloads from our archives happening all the time. You know, everything from 2005 forward in the Phil Hendry Show archive is a download. But now, and you took the call, right, bud?
Yeah, Alex said everything is going to be 2004, February 2004.
So we have 2 months of 2004 now downloadable. That's heavy, man. I don't think there's a radio show anywhere that's doing that, that is making as much material downloadable as our show. And why not our show? The funniest, the greatest, you know. All right, I mean, as we often said, we've listened to a lot of radio here, and we've, what is the word? We have
What are you looking for?
We peruse, that's it.
Peru?
Not peru the country, we've perused radio shows, and this one's the best one. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, I wanted to, because I said during the pre-show that I had a dream the other night about the cap on the well being successful. I don't remember hearing a story about them trying to cap the oil well. I really don't. But last night I had a dream that I was watching TV and I saw a man in an underwater suit and this robotic arm, and they were fitting into place this thing. And the guy on TV said, and it's successful. They've been able to successfully contain it, right? Well, come to find out that, and now I don't believe that is a prediction of the future. I don't think that my dream is some heavy-ass prediction of what's going to happen. Dreams, as we have learned, are often simply the subconscious expressing a desire that we don't really express in life. I don't really run around saying, oh, I hope that the cap on the well is going to be, you know, I hope it's going to be okay.
Yeah, you run around saying, oh, please make the cap on the well be good, please. Yeah, and then people will, like, have an orgasm. And
you shut up with that, okay? Leave it to you, man. Anyway, so I thought, you know, I had this dream. And so here today, BP appeared to have placed a new containment cap this evening, and I say this evening, Monday night, on its crippled well in the Gulf of Mexico that's been gushing oil since an explosion and fire on April the 20th. Now, that doesn't mean yet that everything is capped. The company hopes the new cap will be able to completely contain the leaking oil, but tests are still needed to determine its effectiveness. Now, we have this late word on just exactly what it is they are hoping will happen. Doug Suttles, who is the company's chief operating officer for exploration and production, said that pressure tests would probably be performed tomorrow, Tuesday, once the new cap was fully connected. During the tests, which could last up to 48 hours, valves on the cap will be closed, and for the first time since the disaster began in late April, the oil should stop leaking, he said. Now, we've heard this before, maybe not in quite those words, but we have heard, or we have allowed ourselves, and perhaps in some instances have been led to believe, that the problem has been controlled. But this is the latest statement from British Petroleum. Doug Settles, who's the chief operating officer for exploration and production, he said that once the cap is fully connected, they will conduct tests. These tests will last up to 48 hours. Valves on this cap will be closed, and if successful, for the first time since the disaster began in late April, the oil should stop leaking. Video supplied by BP showed robotic arms gingerly lowering the new cap over the well with little oil appearing to escape. But then again, those are the eyes. Those are a layman's eyes, you know.
Who?
A layman, you know.
Who's he?
A layman.
Like a regular guy, man.
I don't know.
A regular, like he said, a regular guy. You and me, we're laymen as opposed to a professional.
Oh!
Who's he? Video supplied by BP showed the robotic arms gingerly lowering the new cap. If the new cap does not completely contain oil from the crippled well, some may have to be brought to the surface to wait containment ships. But under a worst-case scenario, there could be new damage to a blowout preventer, whatever that means. This must be some kind of a, quote, prophylactic device. Don't get all crazy, bud. That just means preventative. The tests are due to begin Tuesday morning, according to CNN's Ed Lavandera, and we also heard here from Doug Suttles. The process could take anywhere from 6 hours to 2 days, which Doug Suttles already told us. The Coast Guard said on Monday, scientists will be checking or did check the pressure inside the well and then determining whether the cap is holding the oil in or if crews will need to continue siphoning oil. So what we're seeing, and this is kind of the upside of all of this, we are seeing what mankind has done for hundreds, well, I shouldn't say hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of years. We have coped with a problem. We have found a solution. We've moved forward, you know.
Yeah, but a lot of times not every time. Sometimes it's radioactive and everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's radioactive. Are you talking about nuclear weapons?
I'm just saying, you're saying about how mankind cope with it and it's never a bad problem. I disagree about that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say every time that mankind done that.
Yeah, I can.
How can you say that?
Because every time that mankind has dealt with a problem. Where are we today as opposed to where were we 10,000 years ago?
What do you mean, where were we 10,000 years ago?
The Indians hadn't come yet.
I'm not talking about physically. I mean, in terms of technology. Have we improved?
Yeah, we got better and everything.
We got more stuff, yeah.
We got more stuff, but also, do we cure diseases we couldn't cure before? Do we treat the homeless? Do you realize that there was a time we used to have the town drunk? And homeless people you stepped over in the street. Today we take care of the people who are the least fortunate in our society. We found a way to deal with people who have mental retardation. We found a way to deal with people who have birth defects. We find compassionate ways to employ people. We find ways to, even the least people of our society, we try to lift up somehow. We try to do all of this and remain profitable and successful people. We've drawn along the rest of the world along the democratic route, all of these, you know, all these monarchies and dictatorships. You don't think the world has gotten better?
Well, yeah, but what about the radiation?
What is it with you and radiation, man?
You're talking about like the A-bomb and everything.
What about it?
That'll destroy the world.
Bud, yes, you're right. Have we destroyed the world?
Well, a global warming will.
A global warming will, really? Well, you know what? I think the jury's out on that, man. The point I'm trying to make here is that when we encounter a problem, the human race has generally found a way to solve it, because I look at history, and history teaches me that we've gotten better, we've gotten smarter, we've gotten, we've found better ways of self-government, we've found better ways of spreading the wealth. We actually are so much better as a species than we were, you know, 500 years ago. It blows my mind sometimes, the people who think that the human race is going to hell in a handcart and everything's going to hell, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, say there is an A-bomb.
What about the A-bomb, ma'am? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
It's a saying, man, if somebody dropped one.
If somebody drops an A-bomb, yeah, that's a bad thing. I submit to you, though, if somebody drops an A-bomb, that's not going to be the end of the world.
Oh, now you don't know. Because of the radiation and everything. You're crazy. Are you the serious guy?
You don't know about the A-bomb.
Are you guys idiots or something? Yes, I know about the A-bomb.
You don't know they can ruin everything.
Yeah, it can ruin everything. And guess what? It ain't so far. It hasn't ruined everything so far. You want to know why? Why do you think that is?
Because the terrorists don't have it.
Because the human race has found a way to contain and control its use. That's why.
Yeah, not for long, though.
Go ahead, man. You keep thinking that, and I'll keep betting the other way, and I'll keep winning.
You think you're going to win about that? I'll take some of that.
You, really? You going to be around to collect that, man? I've been right. I've been proven right. I got, like I said, 10,000 years of history behind me. What's he got?
They dropped it on a Japanese.
They dropped it on the Japanese. Is Japan still there?
Barely.
Yeah, barely.
877-876-PHIL here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, coming up, we're going to tell you seven reasons your wife or your girlfriend has sex with you. You probably never knew why it is they would actually even consider having sex with you. We'll give you some, at least seven reasons, and they may not sound right, and you may think I'm lying, but, you know, I'm trying here anyway. And as you'd like to hear him, Mel Gibson, our special in-studio or on-the-phone guest, coming up at the bottom of the hour, 877-876-PHIL, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Whoopi Goldberg says Mel Gibson is not a racist. On ABC's The View this morning, Whoopi Goldberg defended Mel Gibson against allegations he's a racist after he was allegedly heard using offensive language in an expletive-laden recorded argument with his ex-girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva. And you heard us say the same thing. We didn't need a black woman to tell us that. I'm kidding around, okay?
What do you mean a black woman?
I'm joking around, all right? Don't get it tense. I said I've used the N-word before.
Yeah, I know. I didn't like that either.
I don't care whether you lie. I was being honest, wasn't I? Does that make me a racist? You think I'm a racist, don't you?
No. He doesn't think you're racist. You don't think it really, do you?
I did, but I don't now.
Well, that's the same thing she's saying. Whoopi Goldberg this morning defended Mel Gibson, saying, sure, he uses the N-word, but so do most white people. He's an okay guy. Audio of the fight, which leaked on RadarOnline.com on Friday. Boy, this Radar Online, man, who's their source? And why aren't his legs broken yet? By Harvey Levin. Anyway, featured a voice believed to be Gibson's berating a woman, said to the Russian singer about the way she dresses. He used the N-word, said she was a slut, said she was a whore, said she was a...
I don't like what he did here, but I know Mel, and I know he's not a racist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. He may be a bonehead...
Well, that language certainly sounded racist to me.
Okay.
Well, again, I have had a long friendship with Mel. I just want to clear
the point that I want to make out.
Let me finish this, please. Is that you can say he's being a bonehead, but I can't sit and say that he's a racist having spent time with him in my house with my kids. I can't say it. And so I really just need to say that.
Okay.
I don't like what he's done. Make no mistake.
And then what did she say?
Can you dig it?
All right, and then...
Do you think he's anti-Semitic?
I think he's an...
Against you, Joy, yeah.
When somebody says to the cop, the police officer, the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world, that's not anti-Semitic?
You know what, Joy, let me tell you something about drunks.
No kidding.
Drunks say stupid stuff to people all the time. All the time, because they're drunk. They're out of control. They're not thinking. They are idiotic. That's why I don't like alcohol. I can't say anything about that because I know what people are like when they're drunk. This rant, I don't think he's drunk on this rant.
Take your stinking paws off me.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, what do you think?
I think he's not a racist, but he may be mentally disturbed.
Yeah, I think he has a brain tumor or something. I think it might be a brain tumor.
A brain tumor. Well, anyway, audio of the fight, which leaked to Radar Online, we have some of the clips of that audio. You heard some of it. Some of it you heard all of it.
Stay on this phone and don't hang up for me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me?
Can you dig it?
All right. I don't want to play that again, okay?
Come on, it's bitching.
I don't want to hear that poor, mentally disturbed bastard screaming and yelling. During the pre-show, we said it, and we'll say it again. He needs to go in for a EEG, needs to go see the good, great Dr. Hamlin Emery, get an EEG. I'm serious. Get an EEG. Get the brain waves read. What the hell's going on, right? Find out if those alpha waves are slow. Find out if something's wrong. Then, and that guy that said the whole world's Medicaid, let me tell you something, my friend. Why do you think we got drug problems? Because people are looking to medicate themselves, you know.
No, people are using drugs because they're weak.
Yeah. They don't have any character.
That ain't necessarily what it is. People are in pain, man.
Ugh, people are in pain.
Oh, I see. So in other words, I'm being a real baby about this, huh?
Yeah, man, you gotta, like, butch up people in pain. Everybody in pain. Don't mean they're gonna go out and use drugs and everything.
Did you think it was racist of me to play this?
Take your stinking paws off me.
Did you?
No.
All right. So anyway, the African-American ghost star, they had to point out that she's African-American because you may not know that about Whoopi, claims Gibson would have maintained a friendship with her and her children if he, or he would not have maintained a friendship with her and her children if he was really racist. Or he may be hanging around to see if she's interested at all if her film career does go south in taking care of the house and the kids over at his place. And she said, I'd be happy to do that. Speaking on her U.S. talk show, The View, on Monday, she says, I don't like what he did here, but I know Mel, and I know he's not a racist. He may be a bonehead. He may be homicidal. He may have a pointy-headed sheet, but he's not a racist. I've had a long friendship with Mel. You can say he's being a bonehead. In fact, the word bone figures quite prominent. Anyway.
Did she say that?
No, she didn't. But Goldberg is quick to clarify. She does not approve of Gibson's alleged behavior in his life. You know what Whoopi said there? She said what we were saying last week. She said what a lot of people are saying. You know, I'm sorry, I hate to break the news, but when a certain white guys get angry enough, that word comes flying right out of their mouths. That's just the way it is, and it doesn't mean that the guy is evil. I will tell you, though, I'm not going to stand here and say to you, oh, well, you know, give the guy. You can think anything you want. And if he was like, let's say Mel Gibson wasn't a director or producer. Let's say the guy was the manager of a baseball team. Or he, you know, one of those very vulnerable positions where you can get hired and fired for the least little thing. And he got canned. I would not raise a voice in protest because I would say this. Mel, I know you're probably not a racist. I think you're an angry bastard. I think you're a real piece of garbage, personally. And I wouldn't want to sit down and have a beer with you. But, you know, I kind of understand where you're coming from. And even though I understand your anger, you shouldn't open your yap, man.
Should have watched his mouth.
Yeah, should have watched his mouth, because he knows the world he lives in, man. You know where you live. You know what the game is, man. You know the business you're in. You're in the entertainment. You're the movie business, and you're going to come out with the Jew word here and the N word there. Are you out of your mind? This guy, I'm telling you, this Gibson, when he got popped for that drunk driving on PCH.
Yeah, he probably thought everybody would, oh, it's Mel Gibson, man. We better let him go.
Now, he probably did think that. He probably thought he could go screaming ass down PCH with an open bottle of tequila between his legs.
Good thing it was just that.
Good thing it was the only thing that was open between his legs.
Yeah.
And that guy gets pulled over, and he starts ripping on the, whoever it was. Who was it, CHP or something?
I don't know.
He starts popping the CH, this California Highway Patrol guy with the Jew word, and he, you know, and they haul his ass in. And I think it's the, somewhere along the line, he did maybe it was Passions of the Christ.
Yeah, I think he did a movie about Jesus, and he thought that, in my opinion, he thought that made him, well, I don't know, like the Catholic Church, would he be a saint or something?
Are you crazy, man? All I did was make a movie.
Yeah, but it was about the Jesus.
What do you mean, the Jesus?
Well,
you're telling me because he made that movie, he thought he had elevated himself to some beatified status?
I don't know what that is, but he probably thinks he's, it don't smell, you get your nose right up in it, too.
It don't smell and you can get your nose right up in it, too. That's Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably right. I mean,
I really do, man. I think he thought when he made that movie, he'd hit it out of the ballpark on that one.
Well, guess what? No, he didn't. Because after he made that movie, then he goes out with the Jew word, and then he had to go to alcohol rehab, and he had to apologize, all this bull crap. Then he comes out with the N-word, and like the guy said, you ain't going to apologize anymore. So here's what he's got to do, and this is what we said. Number one, and I understand this kind of anger. I understand this kind of anger. It's out of control. It comes from some really deep-seated problems and some bad wiring, not enough sleep, I don't know. You got to get some medication going. Settle all this crap with this girl. Settle all this stuff with your wife. Just get it out of your life, okay? Whatever you got to do, you got to get through it. Then if I were him, I'd take about 6 to 8 months to a year off. Get the hell out of this town. Get out of here. Go somewhere far, far, far away. And then in 10 years, they find the body in ice.
What?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, like what, man? Like National Geographic?
Yeah, they'll find Mel Gibson frozen in the Alps. No, I don't know. He'll come back. But he's got to take a chill. All right, coming back, as you like to hear him, Mel Gibson, on our very airwaves here next in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, why'd we spend 15 minutes talking about him if he's going to be here?
Because I felt like it.
That's why. That's the about there.
Phil Henry.
Hey, the clock's only 5 seconds off.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome to As You Like to Hear Them. Once a week, we talk with a major newsmaker in the major news stories of the day. And we're very happy to bring on our program here this evening, Mel Gibson, the celebrated director, actor, producer who has found himself in an extremely difficult position here, I think, in terms of public relations, certainly, Mel, and in any other way you want to look at it. You've just been dropped by your agency, which was Endeavor, right?
Well, you know, Ed LaMotto died. And why would I want to stay with them, you know? But, yeah, they dropped me.
And I'm sorry to hear that, too.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to hear that. You were over at ICM.
Yeah, I know, and you were there, too, and, you know.
No, I didn't say anything about me being there, too. I didn't say anything about that at all.
Well, you were going to say, oh, hey, you were at ICM just like me, right?
No, I never brought that up at all.
Well, then how do you know who Ed LaMotto is?
Because I read that he was your agent.
And you saw him walking through a Morton Steakhouse once, right?
Yes, okay, yes. God, are you touchy, man?
Hey, I'm touchy. I'm touchy? I got people who are ready to drop me into a tank of sharks and start selling popcorn and put the kids up front and watch me be eviscerated alive by sharks in a shark tank with those big windows on the side. That's what I got going on. I'm touchy. Of course I'm touchy. When people want to watch me be disemboweled by a wild animal for the amusement of children, yes, I'm touchy.
Now, how did you get all the way over to that from what we were just talking about?
Because the stuff I've been hearing you talking about and the stuff I'm hearing other people talking about.
Mr. Gibson, I haven't said anything. In fact, I've defended you. I said that I can understand that kind of anger because I've lived it, but you can't hope for anyone to understand it, really. You can't hope for anybody to be on your side or for anyone to help you win the public relations fight with anger like that. You're just going to have to suck it up.
Why should I suck it up? If she was wrong, okay, if she's wrong...
And what were you arguing about?
It's none of your business.
All right.
If she's wrong, then why can't I say she's wrong?
It was the way you said it. It was the way you said it. And that's why you've got a lot of people who are... Right now, I mean, you're getting people, you get the agency that dropped you, you've got public relations damage, man. How are you going to, what are you going to do?
Well, I got a good lawyer. I got this Blair Burke. Now, I don't know if she's any good at drunk, I mean, she helped me with the drunk driving. I don't know if she's any good with this. It's a tough one.
What happened, man? I mean.
You said it. I got angry. I got angry because I have been working my ass off. I have been paying everybody's bills. I have been putting everybody into houses. I'm putting everybody through school. I'm buying everybody's cars. I'm buying everybody's vacations. Okay? And I'm having to come up with the next brilliant big-time movie to pay for all of this stuff. I got a studio that wants me to make the next big multi-million-dollar thing. Now I got an agency that dropped me. They dropped me like I was you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, you know what I mean. They dropped me, meaning they don't think they're going to get hurt by that. So what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. In the middle of what should have been a hot streak for me, I know I made that Apocalypto and a few other stinkers, but the fact is my track record speaks for itself. In the middle of that, this. Now, do I blame myself? Maybe. But,
oh, come on, man. You can't... Tell me about this getting drunk and going down PCH. What was that about?
I was pissed off. and I decided that I would test my celebrity. You were right. I decided to test the limits of my celebrity to see just how far I could push it and not be thrown into prison. And frankly, I was able to push it a long way. I mean, I was able to get drunk. I was able to have the open container of tequila. I was able to be driving really fast. And I was able to call a cop, I don't know, sugar blankety blank. I guess I can't say it right.
I'd rather you not.
And I you know, went off on Jews. I was insulting to the female officer. And I got away with a lot. So I tested my celebrity there. Now, that was me testing my celebrity. This latest thing with this Grigoriva, I was just flat pissed off at this skank in my house. And
let's not go down that skank route because I don't want to, you know, I don't know what this is about, and I'd rather not hear a lot of people called names, okay?
All right, fine. So I was angry, and I was angry at her, and yes, you're right, I feel betrayed. I feel betrayed by a lot of women in my life. I feel betrayed by a mother that didn't stand up to a racist, no good.
Talking about your father?
Yeah. So ever since then, I've just been angry. Now, as I said to you, I'm out there breaking my ass, making all kinds of money for all kinds of people, for agents, for studios, making money for the guys that are taking my pictures, making money for actors, paying for education. I told you the whole thing, right? I got houses in Malibu. I got houses over here. I got houses in the Rocky Mountains at Vail or Aspen. I don't even ski. I don't even ski.
All right, you don't ski.
Well, why would I have a house in the Rockies? I don't even ski?
Well, then sell it or something.
Oh, yeah, in this market? Yeah. Get that one? He says sell it. Sell it in this market. Do you hear what he said? He said
okay, all right, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
He said he misspoke. He said sell it. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Sell it. Sell it, huh?
Sell it to some cat who can afford it. Sell it to somebody who can't afford it. Or just leave it empty. Leave it to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, as John Adams said.
That wasn't John Adams. That was Paul Giamatti.
Sorry. But the point that I'm making here is you sort of made your bed, huh?
Look, when I say to you that I'm under pressure, I'm not saying it the way that lady said it. I'm saying that I have a lot of problems, okay, that I'm not dealing with very well. I understand that. I'm saying that I have a lot of anger that I'm not dealing with very well. But now it's over because no one cares. No one cares what my problems are. They want to see Mel Gibson burn.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, that's what they want. They want to see Mel Gibson burn.
I don't think that's it at all, Mr. Gibson. I think that people are shocked at your behavior.
No, I think it is that. I think they want to see me burn to the ground. They didn't like the Jew crack. They think I'm a racist. They want to see me burn right straight down to the ground. And then they want to see me blow away, man. They want to see the ashes just blow right across the city line of Los Angeles off into whatever, the Pacific Ocean. They don't want to see me again. I can't blame them. I can't blame them.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of embarrassing things, starting with your father's attitudes and leading all up through this. Don't you think you ought to just take a break?
What do you mean take a break?
Don't you think that you should stop making movies, stop acting, get out of L.A., get out of Los Angeles, go, I don't know, wherever you feel comfortable, go back east, go to Australia, go up.
What is with Australia? I was born there. It doesn't mean that, you know.
No, but wherever, you know, and get completely out of the movie and filmmaking and acting business and do something else, you know.
Oh, I don't know what that would be.
Well, what else do you like to do?
I like to throw ceramics, you know. And,
well, then throw ceramics.
Yeah, throw pottery, you know, kiln. I don't know, but I...
You don't have an agent now.
Well, I got to find an agent. See, that's the problem.
No, you don't have to find an agent at all. Don't find an agent. They drop me. I suck. Leave town, man. Just leave town. You must have some... obviously, you've got plenty of income to live on.
Well, don't get, you know, you never know.
Well, you must have some of that back-end dough that's still flying in from all of these movies, right?
A little.
A little. So what I would say is get out of town while the getting's good, leave everybody behind, and just do something else. Because, dude, this is all piling up. It sounds like you're losing your mind.
What do you mean?
It sounds like you're cracking up.
What do you mean, cracking up?
Do you remember the thing with that interviewer where you called him an a-hole? And
yeah, because the guy was out of line.
Well, but there are better ways of dealing with those things. It sounds to me like you're flipping your lid. You're cracking up, and you need to just split and I don't know, maybe never come back. Maybe start making movies somewhere else, like build a studio in Moscow or something. I don't know.
Moscow? What is it with you anyway? Go to Australia, build a studio in Moscow. So I am, in other words, I'm nothing more than Charlie Chaplin, is that it? Let's just go move to Europe. Why don't I move in with Roman Polanski while I'm at it? Hey, there's an idea. I hear he's out. You know, you got me. I realize that I said the N-word, and I realize I said the Jew word, but I didn't exactly molest a 13-year-old.
No, but you did, you know, you admitted to beating this lady. You hit her in the face. You admitted to that on the tape. You also threatened to beat her with a baseball bat.
Oh, come on. You know, Robert De Niro did that in a movie, and the damn flick made over $100 million. I do it, and I'm on the run. I'm on the run. Running me off and burning me out. De Niro did that in a movie.
I know he did it. Well, all I can tell you is, I appreciate you being on the program, but I'm actually kind of bored with this interview.
Oh, well, thanks.
Well, you're welcome, but there's not a whole lot that I can say to you.
Well, why did you want me on here anyway?
Because I figured nobody wants to interview. I thought I would, but I will tell you that you need to get out of town, and you need to, if you want to beat somebody up, man. You know, if I were you, I would find. Like a dead body or something, or a punching bag, or anything.
That's your advice.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, this is great, Phil. Thanks very much. I've never been more underwhelmed in my life than to be interviewed by you. And
well, what did you think? You're going to get some answers to your life?
Maybe. Maybe I thought it'd be funny, too. It ain't even that. It's just one pathetic.
That's your life, though, isn't it? Unfunny and pathetic.
Remind me, I got to call Whoopi. Thank you for that.
Who are you talking to?
My assistant.
All right, well, good luck, Mel, and see you around, man. But I would tell you something. I really think that you need to...
Yeah, I know. Leave town.
Yeah. As you like to hear, Mel Gibson here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Boy, talk about underwhelming.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Talking to David G. Hall. And we were just talking, David. I saw that movie. We just saw Grown Ups.
Yeah, well, you didn't see the demographic breakout on that. And I was just telling to your audience, I was telling Phil that you've got to be less critical of Adam Sandler. You may not like his movies, but you've got to be way less critical of him.
Well, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the demographic. They are, Hollywood is doing a lot in terms of the research they did. They got teens. They now have the mentally retarded. And as you might guess, Sandler does well.
And what do you mean the mentally retarded?
You're asking me whether I think Adam Sandler is any good. I tell you, it doesn't make any difference. If you take a look at his demographics, teenagers and people with a head injury, I don't know how else to explain it to you.
They're doing that kind of a demographic breakdown, huh?
That's what I'm looking at here, yes.
People with a head injury.
Yes! God!
You're kidding, man. I'd love to take a look at that.
I'll give it to you after you get off the air. If you want, I'll email it to you.
So Adam Sandler's number one with teens and people with head injuries.
That's what I'm looking at.
All right. David, thank you.
One more thing, Phil.
What?
I'm only kidding. Only kidding.
About the
head injury. See, one of the things about you, you got a real tight...
877-877. Don't tell me. I know I hung up on him, bud.
Yeah, but he's going to be pissed off. What, you hung up on Mr. Hall?
Yeah, I hung up on Mr. Hall. Oh, we did. We went and saw Grown Ups. It made $110 million domestically so far, $30 million production budget. So, you know, Adam Sandler movies do it, man. Now, we went to see the flick because I like the cast. I saw there's Adam Sandler, and there was Kevin James, there's Chris Rock, and David Spade, you know.
So far, you haven't mentioned one guy that's funny except Chris Rock.
Yeah. I haven't mentioned one guy that's funny. All right, I'm sorry, but I think, you know what? I may be the only David Spade fan left on Earth. I think he's funny.
Yeah, are you kidding?
He's funny, man. Frankly, he was the funniest guy in the movie, if you want my honest opinion. Oh, and Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider was great. But here's the problem with the movie Grown Ups. All these funny guys, Chris Rock's character was, I don't know what the story is there. The Rob Schneider character was beautifully drawn. The Chris, David Spade character, you know, and maybe it's the actor, what he put into it, I don't know. Kevin James was Kevin James, you know, fat and laughable with the hot wife. Yeah, sure, right. And then there was Chris Rock, who was the black friend, and I never really knew why he was in the movie.
Because they got to get a black guy in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's why. They had to get a black guy. In other words, it was a Gen X nostalgia movie for Gen Xers, for people that were in grade school in the late 1970s, that were on their way into high school in the late 1970s, kind of the Gen X people. That was, am I right about that? Yeah. That was their movie. And, it, you know, all the music was from the late 70s. And, oh, God, I'd almost forgotten how lousy the music was back then. But the theme was, these are these parents, the fathers especially. The women, once again, are not very interesting or they're pieces of ass. Like, for instance, Selma Hayek. Why is she in this movie? I'll tell you why.
Yeah, because she's dead. Are you kidding? You don't know why?
Well, I mean, you know, Adam Sandler's wife has got to be some Latin, well, I guess so.
Hey, man, he's a star of the movie. He'd have anybody you want.
All right, and then Maria Bello, and I don't know who the hell else. But anyway, so these fathers want to teach their kids, especially the rich kids of Adam Sandler's character, who's a film producer, an agent, excuse me. He's an agent, a very wealthy agent, and he lives in this huge home. And they're stinking rich, but he's a great guy. He's a normal guy, and he wants his kids to know what it's like to be, you know, normal kids because they're on their little video games and they're texting the nanny to bring them chocolate milk and stuff like that. That's the joke. And he wants his kids to know what it's like to swing on a rope swing and to go on a hike and to paddle boats in the river, you know. And as it turns out, the weekend that they spend at this lake, that's what the dads wind up doing, and gradually they get the kids interested in it. So it's one of these very feel-good movies. But, I got to tell you something, man. I felt sort of manipulated by the flick, you know, like
maybe somebody's fondling you, right?
Yeah, like I was being fondled. What do you mean, like I was being fondled?
Well, what do you mean manipulated?
I didn't say manipulated, did I? I just felt like somebody was punching all the, quote, right buttons, you know. Here's my black friend, and I'm a rich guy, but I'm a good guy. And is this, does this remind you of The Big Chill? Well, it sort of is, only for Gen Xers and with kids. Okay, and, you know, like that, man. So,
what was The Big Chill?
The Big Chill was is a baby boomer nostalgia movie. That was my generation. Okay, and now this grown-ups, I don't know, but I'm just telling you. Now, you know, David says that Adam Sandler's number one with people with head injuries. Let me tell you something. That guy, among teenagers, at least he was, all that Billy Madison, all that jazz.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore.
All of that stuff scored huge with, like, young males. Hey, man, they got money, too. So I don't know, but that was the flick that we saw. Now, here are some of the other movies that kicked ass or did not at the box office. Now, as I mentioned, Grown Ups. It says here Grown Ups did this weekend $16.4 million. I don't know where Jason's getting this. Oh, so far it's done $110. It's actually done $111 total. Last week it was number three. It's dropped to number six. Now, number one, Despicable Me. It's the new 3D cartoon featuring the voice of Steve Carell as a bumbling supervillain. It stole the top spot at the weekend box office, dropping Eclipse to second place. Eclipse is second. Third, Predators. Fourth, Toy Story 3. Fifth, The Last Airbender. Sixth, Grown Ups. Seventh, Day and Night. Eighth, The Karate Kid. Ninth, The A-Team, which was fifth last week. A-Team's made $74 million. It made $2 million this weekend. And tenth, Cyrus. Just about every movie on this list sucks.
Are you kidding me, man? What do you mean it sucks?
Every movie on this list is jive ass. All right. So that's the kind of summer it's going to be, man. What do you want me to tell you?
You know, just because a bunch of comedy and everything like that doesn't mean it's bad.
Oh, it sucks. It's mostly kid movies. That's fine. I can live through it. I'll just survive, man. It doesn't make any difference. All right, as far as books go, the hardcover fiction, I know you guys are paying attention to this, huh?
Yeah.
Private, Sizzling 16, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, The Overton Window, and The Help. In nonfiction, S. My Dad Says, Medium Raw, The Big Short, Chelsea, Chelsea, Bang, Bang, and Spoken from the Heart. Oh, man. That's nonfiction. Now, one of the things about books you have to understand, your book can get on the top 5 or the top 10 of the New York Times bestseller list if you go out and buy a bunch, you know. So if you go out and you buy a bunch of movies, you go out and buy a bunch of your own books, then you can actually jack it on the...
You can't even, like, if you have a warehouse of them?
You go out and just buy a warehouse full of books, yeah. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance, our technical director, Charles Wagon. And, of course, we have screening tonight, John Wernick filling in. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP today. Later.
Phil Henry.